service at 287-1227.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Jesus permeated with this grace and truth. He could walk in God's truth as a man only by receiving God's ability, his grace. Only by receiving grace. When he stood up in the temple the first day and said, "This day these scriptures are fulfilled in your ears," they said, "Ain't this Joseph boy? We know him. We saw him growing up. We saw him when his nose was running. And he scraped his knee in." They knew him as a boy. But when the time came, come on, he had learned stuff. And when the time came, he walked in truth by God's grace, his Father's ability. Everything, I'm going to reinforce this again and again. Everything that Jesus did, all the miracles we see, walking on the water. Do you know, today there are people that have walked the water. Amen. Just because you hadn't read it or seen it before. In Papua New Guinea, it's been done. There are scores of times people have walked water. I'm not talking about shallow little, you know, 2-3 inches of water. I'm talking about lakes and stuff. When flood tides would come, there's one testimony, I forget who it was, but from the Papua New Guinea ministries, where they get a lot of flooding, And this guy could not get home, and his house was, you know, his little hut or whatever it was in jeopardy. His little family was, and God gave him a grace to walk on water. To get there and to rescue his child, to rescue his wife. So see, the works that he did through grace. And that same grace is available to us today. But now you go out on Lake Okeechobee all you want to, or out on the ocean and say, "I'm gonna walk on water." You ain't got no need to. You just want to see it. You better know how to swim. He did it, I'm gonna do it. Yeah, get on out there. You want? He can call you out there. You don't have any need. See, you can't just tempt God. In that sense, but whatever Jesus did, Jesus walked in God's truth as a man only by receiving his grace. All that Jesus did, he did as a man full of grace. He gave us a perfect example of how a man could live now above sin. Now, I don't know. There's so much doctrine and teaching and acceptance, and I like to call it, to a degree, greasy grace, because, you know, it's always unmerited and unearned, you know, it's always covering sin, and I know it does. But this grace also, and it was lived through Christ as a man, he left us as an example how you and I can live above sin. Amen. Sin does not have to have dominion over you. And it's through grace. It's not through doctrine. Now we have to understand two things. Doctrine is important. Amen. Because without the doctrines of Christ, you have a lot of weird cultic stuff out there. Amen. That go around Jesus. It looked good. It looked like God. But it's a form of stuff. A form of godliness. But it denies the power thereof. In other words, everybody has God in you. And you have to touch that internal. And I mean, they're using this terminology and all this stuff. But Jesus is nowhere in the picture. Amen. The Son of God is nowhere in the picture. The one that brought redemption and atonement is left out. So the thinking is there's more than one way to get to God. I got news. Aim but one way. There's one door. There are no back doors. There are no patio doors, no side doors to get to God. One way, and that's through Jesus. That's where the world is erring with all this false doctrine. Doctrine is important, but what is equally important is that we are not just serving doctrine, we are serving a person. It's not, see, some people only know doctrine, and so they are very legalistic. But when you know the person, when you know the person, that woman that was taken in adultery, those Pharisees, those men, they had the law backing them. But see, their heart wasn't right. They was trying to catch Jesus through this woman. So they drag her before Jesus, and they say, "Teacher or rabbi, we caught this woman in the act of adultery." You know they had to be spying on her. They probably set her up and broke in there, caught her in the act, and dragged her out. "We caught her in the act, and the law says, Moses says, she's to be stoned. Now what do you say?" They got their stones ready for him, for blaspheming. Don't you love how cool Jesus was? See, look at somebody tell him he was cool. See, having an excellent spirit means that you're cool. That's what it literally means in the Hebrew. It means a cool spirit. That's what excellence is. But he just kind of, you know, was writing whatever he was writing in the sand. Then he looked up at him and said, "You that are without sin, cast the first stone." My goodness. That undressed everybody in the spirit. That spirit of anger had to leave. Hatred had to leave. That legalistic spirit was gone. Every demon that was in there trying to catch Jesus just took off. And them men, they were standing there in their own ability. Probably the elders just threw the rock behind them and went off mumbling. And then they all just kind of, you know, walked away. Shame. Then Jesus said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" And she probably pulled her head out of the dirt and looked up and looked around and said, "There are none." He said, "Well, neither do I accuse you." But then he said, "Go in this grace and sin no more." Do you know that woman became one of his greatest servants? That woman Mary right there became one of his staunch disciples. Amen. She experienced grace. That's what people need. They need grace, but there's an enabling grace, all right? Everything Jesus did, he did by God's grace that worked in him. John 1:16 says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Amen. For the law was given by Moses in verse 17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We have received of the same fullness of grace that was at work in Jesus. That same fullness of grace is in you. Amen. That was at work in Jesus. Apart from the grace, we strive in our own strength. Now, I want to establish a truth here. Catch this, it's very important. There was truth before Jesus came. Amen. I want you to think about it. Divided, the old covenant and new. Moses had truth before Jesus came. For the law was given by Moses. I just read that in verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. It was truth. That those tablets that Moses brought down from the mountain were etched by God's finger himself. So it was truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Man under the law tried to live the truth, but because of the weakness of his flesh, and his own ability, he could not do it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Even today, under your own ability and your own, you can't do it. Amen. You can't live for God. That's why there are times or seasons when your joy dries up, where church becomes just, you know, just church. Because it ain't the church, it's you. Man, ain't no joy no more. No, that's you. Just because you lost your joy or your joy dried up don't mean everybody's joy dried up. Somebody running around here, clapping around here, doing all kinds, and you know what they all happy about? Well, they got the joy of the Lord. The grace of God is operating in them. Just because your joy is somewhere, you got into a works thing and got dried all up. Time to get undried. Your flesh don't have power to obey God. Amen. You can obey rules. You can obey stuff. You can do stuff, but it doesn't have the power to obey God. The flesh wants to fulfill only its own desire. Say this with me. Grace and truth. Grace. Say it again. Grace and truth, came by Jesus. You see, Moses brought the law. He brought truth. But Jesus didn't bring just truth. That's why the new covenant is better. When Jesus came, he brought truth and the ability to live out the truth, which is grace. Moses only brought truth. Jesus brought grace and truth. The divine ability to live out the truth that you know. This is what separates the two covenants. Read the Old Covenant. You know, there's a lot of good principles in it, a lot of good stories and events, and we glean from that. But more than that, you need to know and understand and embrace the person of Jesus. You see, Paul is a good example. Peter's a good example. I'm a pretty good example. We have those in the church that are good. Good examples, but the example is Jesus.
We have come to the close of part 5 of Mega Grace, Grace, God's Ability. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Every motive of your heart has to be based upon love, not deceit or gain. You cannot afford to react certain ways as a saint in some situations. When you allow grace, the enabler, to take over, you will become stronger. The new covenant assures us that God does the work. We are to simply believe and wait patiently on Jesus. The word will work in us only by the grace of God.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us this weekend at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our service times are 11 a.m. Sunday morning. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.